Hello and we're live! Ah! Hello and we're live! Ah! Hello and we're live!
Hello and welcome back to a bonus episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
My name is Tim Costa.
This is Walter Vinci.
This is Hermano da Silva.
And what we like to do on the FTW podcast is find a movie that none of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. These movies could be new, they could be old, or something that is on all of our lists of shame. However, in this episode, we'll be recapping the 2012 Oscar show. Before we get into that, we have a winner to announce. If you remember, we ran our Oscar Picks contest and promoted it on our show via Facebook and Twitter, and we had several entries, and we'd like to congratulate Daniel Tucker for getting the most correct.
How many did he get?
It looks like Daniel's pick for original screenplay put him over the top, because there were two or three entries that picked 9 correctly, but Daniel ended up with 10.
Yeah, there we go. Way to go, Daniel.
Out of the 12. Not bad.
Not bad at all, sir.
So please email us your Oscar-nominated Blu-ray DVD pick and shirt size, and we'll send it right off to you.
Yes, please, sir.
And congratulations again.
We can get your prize off to you.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Okay, on to the Oscar show itself. Guys, thoughts on the production of the show?
All right. I'm going to caveat this right now that I was I was brewing beer with some friends. And uncharacteristically drinking while brewing beer, and we ended up watching The Walking Dead. I only saw about 15 minutes worth of the Oscars itself. Uh-huh. And of those 15 minutes, I was not impressed.
Wow. Did you just see the first 15 minutes? Or
I saw the presentation, the part where they had the Nazis run in and say that they couldn't find the Von Trapps.
Oh, where he did the Sound of Music.
Yes, and then Christopher Plummer come out.
Okay, then on to Hermano.
I saw a little bit more than Wally did. I did not watch the entire show, though. I stopped watching at about 11 Eastern time.
So you missed about an hour.
Yeah, I missed about an hour. And, overall, I thought it was fine. I think I enjoyed it more than last year's, where Billy Crystal hosted.
Yes.
And, I'm a Seth MacFarlane fan. I mean, I like Family Guy. I like, I loved Ted. I thought he did. I know there's been people that have been divided as far as, you know, how he did as a host. I'm on the side that I thought he did a fine job.
I agree. I thought he did a fine job, too. I thought his opening bit was good, but it was funny because as it was going on and it was about 25 minutes into it, I was like, oh, we're in for a long show. Because his opening monologue and skits and all that kind of stuff... It was a long bit. It took a long time.
It felt like 20 minutes to half an hour.
Yeah, it was. And, well, you should go back and try to find and watch it, because there were a lot of parts in it that are really funny. I don't know if you've heard about it, but he had a bit with William Shatner.
Yeah, I heard that. William Shatner was sent back in time to stop him from ruining the Oscars.
And he did this whole flight sock puppet routine.
Oh, see, I would be all over that. That would be hilarious.
It was hilarious.
As soon as it popped on screen, I'm like, if Wally's watching this, he's on the floor right now laughing.
I'm going to have to track this down when I go to work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awesome.
Some free time. Other than him, they... You know, it was funny how it was weird how they decided to do some sort of tribute to musicals over the past 10 years, but they really only focused on Chicago, Les Miserables, and Dreamgirls, and that was highlighted by a musical number they did a Chicago song by Catherine Zeta-Jones, followed by Jennifer Hudson from Dreamgirls, and then followed by Les Miserables. Now, I think everybody did a fantastic job, but they should have reordered it so that Jennifer Hudson was last, because she knocked it out of the park. Yeah. She was effing amazing.
And somewhere Simon Cowell has just got his head in his face going, what the... How did I miss this?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it was how did America miss this? Because America was her up.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, also, Shirley Bassey came out to sing Goldfinger.
I saw that part.
And she did a great job, too.
I actually thought she... was really owning it compared to Adele's performance, where Adele just kind of stood there and just kind of like gestured with her hands. Like Shirley Bassey, like put her whole body into like her when she was singing.
Well, is Adele's is the Skyfall song? You know, it isn't as bombastic as Goldfinger.
It's not, but like I guess I expected more than just Adele just kind of swaying her hips back and forth. Like I wanted her to sing. Like it felt like she was holding herself back.
Well,
she
was wasn't that what that was really the song? That's the song, though. That's the way the song is written, and that's the way she performed it for the movie.
It felt like she was kind of drowned out by the backing music, because it felt like I was like the mixing was off or something.
Yes.
Like she seemed lower than the rest of the background music. And I was just like, is this the way it's supposed to be? Because I figured they would feature her voice more prominently than...
Well, you gotta keep in mind, they're not... Though we're getting it on TV, the mixer is doing the sound for the actual hall itself. So if the acoustics are really good, and I'm sure that they are, where they're doing the Oscars, he's balancing what is reverberating around his head and off all the structures in there. So it may not translate 100% over to TV.
Well, also where how they were mixing the show, their orchestra was actually off site. It was at Capitol Records
in another building. And they were doing it live.
And they were doing it live, yeah. So the person who was mixing the live production had a hell of a job on their hands balancing between the live instruments that they had at times mixed with Capitol Records. So I mean, surely something got mixed up there, but otherwise, I thought it was a top notch show,
mm-hmm.
production wise. Just too long. And it was funny. I think the only person who recognized how long it was Meryl Streep, because when she presented it for Best Actor, and you know she said, and the nominees are, and it goes to the pre-recorded thing, and as soon as they cut right back to her, she already had the envelope open behind her back and said, Daniel Day-Lewis. As soon, they didn't even have time to have the drum roll and the cameras fixed on all five faces, you know. So that was pretty funny, because other than that, everybody was just taking their sweet time. The there was a bit between Paul Rudd and Melissa McCarthy that
awkward.
That was awkward. It was intended to be funny, you know, but it just went on for too long. And then the Avengers cast went on for too long.
They were awkward as well. It seemed like they didn't have like a plan. Like they just had weird chemistry on stage, which is weird because they work in the movie.
Yeah. So, but I mean, overall, I thought it was a nice show. It was a good show. It's just like I said at the beginning, I knew that this was going to be a long, long night.
I mean, the one part that Wally did see was the biggest laugh I got the entire night because of the Sound of Music bit, where he's like, "And now
the Von Trapps,"
and it's like, I'm like, "Where are they going with this?" And all of a sudden, you see the Nazi soldier come in.
They're gone.
I'm like, wow, we had to bust out a musical from like...
Total Seth MacFarlane humor, though.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he should come back and do the Oscars again next year. Well, I think he should be the face of the Oscars going forward.
He's not going to, though.
I wish he would, because it's like a rookie year in baseball. You may not be knocking him out of the park your first time around, but like, if you're... Like, a lot of great players didn't, you know, they had good rookie years. And I think that if they let Seth MacFarlane like keep going and take it to maybe just push it a little bit more as far as the edginess goes, you'd get more viewers.
I think he had the right amount of edginess. You know, without going completely overboard, I think anything over would just be too offensive for the general public.
I thought he was pushing the line a few times. Yeah. The Rihanna Chris Brown joke
that was great.
About them going to see Django Unchained as a date movie. Yeah. And the Kamenzane Wallace joke, she's only like 7 years away from being too old for George Clooney or whatever it was. I forget the joke, but I thought the song he did as well, the We Saw Your Boobs.
Yes.
That was a pretty funny song.
You haven't seen that well.
No, I've not seen it.
He's picking out all the actresses in the audience and he's naming in the lyrics all the movies that they showed their breasts.
That's pretty funny.
It was funny.
The so-and-so gay men's chorus has him singing behind him at the same time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Should we get right on into the...
Let's talk about winners and losers.
Going back to the production, I mean, they usually start with... like some big award, then go into the technical awards. That's pretty consistent year after year. Is there anything like that kind of bothers you, or would you rather see it switched around in a certain way?
Well, here's the thing. You got to get your people at the beginning of the show, and then you want to save all your big stuff for the end. So there's a lot of filler in the middle. That's part of the problem.
Okay, on to the nominees and the winners. You'll be able to comment on this, Wally, for Best Live Action Short Film. The winner was Curfew.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah?
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Because you like Death of a Shadow most?
I personally love Death of a Shadow, but the one I thought should win out of that group, why am I not thinking
of Kashi Boys? No. Assad,
Henry. Henry was the most touching of them all. It had depth to it. It had pathos to it. It was really well done. Curfew, it's just like, oh, we put like this perky young kid that's kind of like Little Miss Sunshine in the short, and you know now you've got a winner. I don't think Curfew was half as good as Henry.
Was it just like you think it won because it was like the feel good movie?
It is a feel good because there's a part where like they're in a bowling alley and like this like song starts playing. Everyone's like the guy who's taking care of the little girl starts looking around. Everybody's moving in like tempo. Like the bartenders are shaking things and it's going along with the rhythm. And then like the little girl starts dancing down like the bowling alley and people are like dancing along with her. It even seems kind of out of place for something like that to happen. So when he looks again, everyone's standing normal.
So it's in his head.
Yeah, it's like kind of like in his head, like he's kind of imagining it. I mean, it's got a little bit of heart. It's got heart to it at the end, but I think Henry was a far better movie.
Best short film animated, Paper Man, like you predicted one. Yep. Was there another one that you cared for more than that?
Yeah, or? The one I liked better was Head Over Heels. Okay. That one was really awesome with the people in the upside down house.
But Paper Man took it.
I know Paper Man's going to do it. You can't go up against Pixar.
Best documentary short subject, Innocente, by Sean Fine and Andrea Nix.
Making it a point to see that, actually, as soon as I possibly can, because I'm curious about it.
Best documentary feature, Searching for Sugar Man.
That's another movie I got to see, too.
Yeah, I have it in my queue coming up pretty soon. You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
The other nominees were Five Broken Cameras, The Gatekeeper, How to Survive a Plague, and The Invisible War. Have you guys seen any of those?
No, I have The Invisible War in the next room, but I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Okay.
And I want to see if I also have Five Broken Cameras right behind Searching for Sugar Man.
Okay. Best achievement in visual effects. Winner with Life of Pi.
Hells yeah! Hells
yeah!
I was
so happy when they announced it. I was like, dude, they gotta give it to Life of Pi.
The other nominees were The Avengers, The Hobbit, Prometheus, and Snow White.
Nice try.
I haven't seen Life of Pi yet, so...
Richard Parker, dude, seriously.
Yeah, Richard Parker. Yeah, exactly, because I honestly thought there was more live tiger than CG tiger in that movie, and I was wrong.
What do you mean by Richard Parker?
That's the name of the tiger.
Oh, really?
you'll find out.
You'll find out why.
Okay. Achievement in sound editing. This was a tie. I don't know if you didn't see this, Wally, but Hermano.
I saw it. It was awkward.
It was really awkward. It was really interesting because this was when Ted and Mark Wahlberg presented. He presented for both sound editing and sound mixing, and when it came to sound editing, he opened the thing and he says, oh, we have a tie. And there was like a gasp throughout the whole crowd, you know? And he's like, no BS, we have a tie.
See, I like that like, nice touch because it's Seth MacFarlane, like, oh, he's fucking with us. And they're like,
No,
I'm not kidding, there's really a tie here.
Yeah, but it was Mark Wahlberg who presented it. And it was nice how they did it. It's not, they didn't announce them at the same time.
Yeah.
They said the first winner is, and they had, and that was Skyfall, and they had him come up and give the award, give the speech, and then the second winner is. So it was nice that they got, you know, the equal time.
Something just felt off about that whole thing, though. It was strange to see, you know, half the winner come up and then wait, and then you know he announces another winner, and then they come up, do their little speech, and then go out. It just felt off. But
I mean, between all three of us, we've seen all these movies: Skyfall, Zero Dark Thirty, Argo, Django, and Life of Pi for sound editing. You know, I mean.
I have no idea what actually goes into sound editing. You know what I mean, like the ship scene in Life of Pi is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. when you're sitting in an IMAX or like a large theater, like just listening to like the waves break over the ship and all this stuff.
But the rest of the movie is really mostly quiet.
Yeah, you know? It's fairly quiet.
I'm assuming it's just the managing and mixing of all this.
It went to Skyfall and Zero Dark Thirty. So, you know, there's
totally
a lot
fine.
Of... Skyfall, you can definitely understand. Yeah. And even Zero Dark Thirty, you know, there's moments in there that rely on sound, you know?
Yeah.
Especially towards the end. Think about that. Achievement in sound mixing went to Les Miserables. I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because
the way it was filmed and how they sang on stage.
Recorded the voices.
Yeah, that makes sense. Original song went to Skyfall by Adele. Yeah,
what else was up against it?
Chasing Ice for Before My Time, Suddenly from Les Miserables, Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi, and Everybody Needs a Friend from Ted.
All right. Of all the songs, Les Miserables should not be in this because there's no original songs.
No, that was an original song. Oh, sorry. Yeah, most musicals do this. They for a film when they record, they add music. They add an original song in order to qualify.
I wasn't sure because I hear Les Miserables. I'm like, this song's been around for.
Yeah, it was. What about Pye's Lullaby? Does that stand out to you guys?
No, I can't even tell you what Pye's Lullaby was.
I couldn't pick out which song exactly it was, but I mean,
maybe it was at the end during the credits.
Perhaps. It might be like just a score.
But I remember the score itself. It was probably towards the end credits, like you said.
No surprise there with Adele winning with Paul Epworth. Original score: Life of Pi 1, up against Anna Karenina, Argo, Lincoln, and Skyfall. I thought, you know, of course, Lincoln and Skyfall had the biggest chance there as well. You guys were obviously impressed by the score from the movie.
Left by? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from what I remember of the score, it was actually really nice.
Achievement, makeup and hairstyling, there were only three nominees, the winner being Les Miserables, which I can certainly see exactly. Because I saw that movie and sure, it was great. The other nominees were Hitchcock and The Hobbit.
Usually, whenever there's a period piece up against other movies, the period piece almost always wins. I'm surprised Anna Karenina was not in this category.
Yeah, that was in...
Because I was expecting them full on to be nominated. Because usually, period pieces are like costumes. Here you go.
Speaking of costume design, Anna Karenina won it.
There we go.
Over Les Mis, Lincoln, Mirror. Oh, all
right, that movie was awful.
And Snow White and the Huntsman. I mean, I've seen plenty of clips from Anna Karenina, sure, and I could have even seen Les Mis or Lincoln winning, you know, but it was more flamboyant, I think, in Anna Karenina. Achievement in production design, that finally went to Lincoln. They actually got an award. They were nominated for 12 awards, Lincoln was, but it won for production design. Other nominees were Anna Karenina, The Hobbit, Les Mis, and Life of Pi. So,
Life of Pi, when you can shoot most of the movie in a water tank.
Yeah.
You know, production design, I'm not sure really if you belong in this category.
Yeah, I agree. I was totally on board with Lincoln winning that one. Yeah. Lincoln did look amazing.
It really did. Achievement in editing went to Argo. The other nominees were Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty.
See, I would have given this one to Life of Pi.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because when you have all these scenes of, a tiger that's not actually there, and you've got to composite them and put them into the scene and, put that footage together. That's a lot.
Yeah?
You know what I mean?
What are your thoughts on that?
I just thought the editing style in Argo was much more, noticeable than Life of Pi.
What about Zero Dark Thirty? Because that relies heavily on editing in the way it's structured.
Yeah, but when you think of... I mean, the only time that editing in Zero Dark Thirty, for me personally, that it actually really needed editing to push along the story was at the end. Where in Argo, there's so many characters involved in every element of the movie where they got to keep cutting back to Hollywood, and then you're back in, wherever they were, in Iran or whatever. And, I just felt like that editing definitely stood out above all the other nominees.
That's fair enough. Cinematography went to Life of Pi, which I think was expected. Other nominees were Anna Karenina, Django, Lincoln, and Skyfall. Actually, no. Skyfall was expected to win this. This was an upset. Because Roger Deakins got screwed out of this one, I think.
He's never Skyfall. Won an Oscar.
No, he hasn't.
And he's done a lot of really nice-looking movies. Yes. Strange, but I can't fault Life of Pi. Life of Pi looks amazing. And I know a lot of people out there have been saying, most of it's CGI, but that doesn't make it easy. Imagine being a cinematographer and you're pretty much filming nothing.
Yeah,
and you got to frame it in a way that is interesting, and kind of guess where the, where everything's going to be, and just the way you got to frame it. And I was thrilled that they won that.
Okay, I think it was at this point when in the show when Life of Pi started to rack up all these awards that I was thinking to myself, and I was thinking of you, Wally. I was like, is there going to be an upset? Because. It was really, getting a lot of awards, and I was like, geez. Foreign language film, no surprise, went to Amour. And the other nominees were War Witch from Canada, No from Chile, A Royal Affair from Denmark, and Kon-Tiki from Norway. With Amour being in the Best Picture category, I don't think this was really a surprise.
No, it pretty much sealed its fate. I mean, there was no way it was going to win Best Picture at that point, so you could have scratched that off right away.
Yeah, so. And, the the clips that they showed during the show of Amore, I'm like, it gave me less interest in watching
this film. I'm actually going to see this.
Because, like I said, in previous shows, if you've seen a Michael Haneke film, and I've seen two of them, I have no desire to see this film, because I could see right away from the clips that they showed what was happening, how he was framing it, and how he was setting it, and I knew exactly how each scene probably played out, you know, and how long each of those scenes played out, you know?
I do want to see it, just because I do think he's a great director. I think I'm going to wait until I'm having the best day ever, just to take the edge off of this movie.
There's a circus that's coming to town soon, so I'm guessing I'm going to go to the circus later on that evening, but I'm going to watch Amore before I go to the circus. That way I can be cheered up.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I'd be like, elephants!
Best animated feature of the film. Winner was Brave. Other nominees, Frankenweenie, Paranorman, The Pirates, and Wreck-It Ralph. I know you guys weren't as high on Brave as I was.
I never even saw it.
It's a Pixar movie. How are you going to go up against a Pixar movie?
Well, I mean, Pixar hasn't won it every year. And I don't know.
The year Cars 2 came out, they lost to, I don't even remember who it was, but it was like a DreamWorks picture.
Yeah.
They lost to How to Train Your Dragon, right?
I don't know. Maybe a Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah. That could be right as well. But anyway, I was rooting for Paranorman. Have you guys seen Paranorman?
Not yet.
I haven't seen Paranorman or Frankenweenie yet.
I've seen Frankenweenie, Paranorman, Wreck-It Ralph, of those that are nominated, and I was rooting for Paranorman. I thought it was far better than I expected to be. I think it just came out at the wrong time. I think it came out in like in August, which makes no sense. I guess because they didn't want it to come out
against Frankenweenie.
Frankenweenie
during the Halloween season.
They're similar in themes, but I was really rooting for Paranorman. It's way better than people probably expect.
Okay, adapted screenplay went to Argo, up against Beasts of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, Lincoln and Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, I don't know. Is this an upset?
No, I don't think it's an upset. I mean, Argo is racking up, you know, the Golden Globes, the SAG Awards. Yeah. You know, it's been a pretty unstoppable juggernaut up to this point. So, it winning, you know, this particular category, not a surprise.
And I don't know. I think Lincoln, all those are great movies, you know, but I think Lincoln probably might have had the strongest case up against Argo for adapted screenplay.
It was a toss-up for me. I mean, I looked at all those and I thought they all had a good shot of winning.
Original screenplay went to Django. Other nominees were Amore, Flight, Moonrise Kingdom, and Zero Dark Thirty. So, I find this kind of an upset.
It is an upset. I would have given it to Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, yes, I agree. That, or you know how strongly I feel about Zero Dark Thirty.
Yep.
Flight has the weakest ending.
Is it an original screenplay when it actually happened in real life?
Yeah. Yes,
because that seems more like a documentarian style of scriptwriting
If it's not based on written material, then yes. How they do adapted? They say screenplay based on material previously produced or published.
Yes.
So the Zero Dark Thirty is under written directly for the screen original screenplay because. There is no other previously produced or published work that it's being based off of.
Which is my beef with Django Unchained winning.
Oh, okay.
Because that's previously published material from, you know, the original Django movie.
The name itself. Well, he took the name. So, I mean, is it like an adaptation?
That's the question. It's like, I don't think it's really original. Because, I mean, he also Tarantino also put also financially backed Sukiyaki Western Django, which was a retelling of the Django story again, but as Asians. You know what I mean? I don't think they should be in this category.
It should have won because I didn't think the writing in that movie was that strong. Like I mean, compared to Zero Dark Thirty, I mean, I'm not even high on Zero Dark Thirty, but even I thought Zero Dark Thirty was a much better written movie.
And what about Moonrise Kingdom?
Moonrise Kingdom as well. Like either one of those, I would have been fine with winning, but Django was kind of a weird win.
Director went to Ang Lee for Life of Pi against Michael Haneke, David O. Russell, Steven Spielberg, and Ben Zeitlin.
This was a huge upset.
You think so?
I think so. I think everyone was just waiting for them to say Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
And I thought like it was a foregone conclusion leading up to the Oscars. All I heard was like they're probably going to give it to Spielberg. And even Lincoln was thought to be probably a front runner for Picture? Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know how that turned out.
I think this was the point where I was thinking, is there going to be an upset for Best Picture? Yeah, well, no, it had already been established that I was thinking that beforehand with the other awards it was racking up. But this was the one where it really got to me. I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, but then I was like, no
love
way.
For Ben Affleck. That's a huge snub in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
Would you have left out? I mean,
Ben Affleck. Who the nominees again?
Ben Zeitlin for Beasts, Steven Spielberg, David O. Russell, Michael Haneke, and Ang Lee.
I would have expanded the category. Just
that's the problem when you have more than five nominees for Best Picture and you only have five nominees for Best Director. Mm-hmm. That's the problem you run into.
Because I think Argo was a pretty awesomely directed movie, it's just a shame that Mr.
Affleck gets no love. I still look at Life of Pi and I think the direction of that movie is amazing, and I was so glad he won. I'm like going into it, I had such low hopes that any director that or any category that I was like rooting for someone was actually going to win it, because I'm so against almost every pick. Like I was like, I want Life of Pi to win Best Picture. I want I'd love to see Ang Lee win Best Director. And I was just holy shit, he actually won?
So you actually were rooting for her Life of Pi in every single category is nominated.
Pretty much. Right. I mean,
I was hoping Ang Lee, I wanted Ang Lee to get the Best Director. And I was hoping he would also get Best Picture.
But only because The Grey wasn't nominated.
Best Actress in a Supporting Role, winner Anne Hathaway. Other nominees were Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, and Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, I told you when I saw the friggin' trailer for Les Mis, and then when I saw the movie, that just hand the friggin' Oscar to her, because she absolutely deserved it.
I don't know. I actually got into a faux argument with Mia. I was like, isn't she only in the movie for like 10 minutes? Like, how is that a supporting actress?
It's also how powerful
the
performance is.
I was messing around with Mia. I was like, shouldn't she at least be in the movie for like half an hour or something? Like, especially when the movie's over 2 hours long and you're in it for 10 minutes and all of a sudden you're called the supporting actress.
Now, here was the biggest upset of the night. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role went to Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. The other nominees being Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, and Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. People had it locked between two nominees, between Robert De Niro and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought Robert De Niro was deserving and was going to win this award. Mm-hmm. He hasn't won an award since 1981. And hasn't been nominated in years, for anything. This is the first quality thing he's done in a long time.
And he's really good in Silver Linings Playbook.
He really
he's
is.
Excellent.
And Christoph Waltz just won it a few years ago for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
And I loved Christoph Waltz in Django. I thought he was great. And when he was accepting his award and when he was speaking, I said, I could listen to this man speak for hours on end because I love his accent. I love the way he talks. And he did a great job. Like I said, did a great job in Django, but I was just so surprised that he won it. It's like I said, because he won it so recently, this is an award that really goes to people who are like new and outstanding or haven't won it in a long time,
Yeah.
And Robert De Niro,
I would love to see him getting it because
yeah,
he's awesome. I mean, yeah, Christoph Waltz's character is fun, in Django Unchained, but De Niro.
This was the most stacked category, I think, of anything else all night.
I don't think Alan Arkin was as deserving to be in this category as everybody else was.
He's the only one that I would have been like,
he was my second pick. Just because I really love the way he's
just the comedic levity in the movie, and that's his only reason for being in the movie. That's the only way he's written into it.
Yeah, the other four guys, though, I was like, oh my god, I can't call this one. Like, they were all great. Like, I saw all of those movies.
Yeah. So, Best Actress went to Jennifer Lawrence. Other nominees were Jessica Chastain, Emmanuel Riva, Kevenson A. Wallace, and Naomi Watts. By the way, during the show, when they kept cutting back and showing Kevenson A. in the crowd, she was as cute as a button because she kept, making fist bumps and like muscles with her arms, you know, because that's like her famous scene in Piece of the Sullen Wild, and she was really hamming up, and she was
really, really rooting for her. I really wanted her to win so bad. Like, I thought her performance was insane.
Yeah, we had this discussion when I talked about Beasts, you know, how I felt about her performance, and that it was really a lot of post-production that helped her along, I think.
I don't agree with that, man. Like, I really don't. Like, I felt like her performance, she put it all out there. Like, it was on the screen. You saw what you saw. Like, and I think it was a lot of it was her. I mean, I know originally you were like, oh, well, you know, a lot of her dialogue was narrated and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't think that hurts her performance because, I mean, just a couple of years ago, what, last year was it? The artist one? There was no dialogue in that. And it was solely performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's makes my point, because I believe that a lot of the emotion that you feel for her character is also in conjunction with her dialogue that you see over her performance, you know?
No, you made the point that you felt like she didn't actually speak on screen a lot of her dialogue and stuff like that. It was all narrated post-production. Correct. And I'm like, that didn't matter to me. I thought her performance, even without any of that narration, was amazing.
To me, it did. To me, it did. To me, that's what added more... That's what made me feel for her character more than just what I saw on screen.
I love the quiet moments. The moments when she's just home alone, you don't know where her dad is, and she's, like, fending for herself, like, cooking for herself. Those quiet scenes were some of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. She didn't say a word. I thought her performances were great.
Yeah. We just differ on that. But Jennifer Lawrence winning, I mean, she was great.
Yes. She was good. I mean,
I was rooting for Jessica Chastain. I thought she was just tremendous.
I actually would have given it to Jessica. I was like, if Quincy Wallace doesn't win it, I think it's probably going to go to Jessica Chastain. I thought her performance was stronger overall, even though I didn't like a few of the scenes, you know, like the ones in the boardroom where she screams out or whatever.
Best actor went to Daniel Day-Lewis. No surprise here. I mean, Bradley Cooper, Hugh Jackman, Joaquin Phoenix, and Denzel Washington. Joaquin Phoenix was the only other contender for him. You know, that was funny. During the show, when they show a clip of each of the actors, and they showed one of him from The Master, and they cut right to him in the crowd, which I was surprised he was even attending.
Yeah.
He was just like, had finished munching on something, like a bag of nuts or something like that, and he's just shaking his head, you know, when they cut back to him. It was really funny. But he's shaking his head like, what am I even doing here, you know? Why are you guys even showing this? What is this show anyways?
Where am I? I finished writing, I'm not here.
And that's exactly why he probably didn't win, you know, is because of that attitude. Because
it was just not really giving a shit.
Yeah. Dana, you know.
I even heard that Dana Day-Lewis did, like, stand-up comedy, like, at the Oscars.
It was funny, but that's another thing that just added to the show, the length of the show, because... They kept, for the lesser awards, they kept cutting people off with the orchestra playing the Jaws theme.
Yeah, I saw that, dude.
And however, with the actor and actress awards and up, they didn't cut anybody off, you know?
Yeah, I call bullshit on that. That shit actually kind of aggravated me, because all the, like, the technical awards, like the guys for visual effects and stuff, like, they gave them, like, they didn't even give them, like, a minute, it felt like.
And to me, that's some of the best parts of seeing this, because these are the lesser people that help you enjoy the finished product.
Dude,
you
know? Life of Pi is not nearly as good without that fucking tiger in it. That tiger is the star, practically. Like, just to give these guys who, like, probably work way longer than these fucking actors, like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's such...
And I enjoy seeing their genuine emotions on stage, you know, of winning such a award, because this is their moment to shine, you know?
Yeah, always in the background. They finally get a moment to be in the foreground and just, like, be like, hey, you know, thanks, I'm so thankful. And they get, like, a minute where everyone else is like, fucking, take your sweet time.
Yep.
Apparently there's a big protest outside the Oscars, too, of visual effects artists that are... complaining about, like,
yeah, because they don't get paid shit,
you know, low wages, and having a
Hollywood's bust ass. Pitting all these graphics houses against each other to try to, you know, drum down the price, you know.
And best motion picture went to Argo. The other nominees: Amour, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark 30. If you follow Twitter at all, or follow the trades of the award season, you know, you knew that Argo was going to win.
Yes.
It was heavily favored going in. I mean, It's not the worst choice in the world for this to win Best Picture.
It felt like Hollywood doing a circle jerk to me.
It's kind of true, yes, because in this movie, Hollywood saves the day, you know? Yeah.
I mean, Amour shouldn't be in this category to begin with, because it's nominated for Best Foreign Film, which is what it is, you know? So I don't think Amour should be in this category at all.
No surprise, I was rooting for Life of Pi because The Grey wasn't nominated, but if I was Ang Lee or Ben Affleck, I'd be scratching my head the next day. I'd be like, wait a minute, so basically what Hollywood is telling me is that, or the Oscars are telling me is that, I had the best movie, but I was not the best director, or I was the best director of the movie that didn't win the best movie.
Exactly.
Like, that makes no sense. Like, I don't get where they... I mean, it always made more sense, like, hey, I know it doesn't leave much suspense when past years, like, best director automatically got best movie. But I just think doing it this way, it just seems so weird. Like, how can the movie that won best movie not have the best director attached to it, or vice versa?
So, do you think that they should change it so that it's a tied together?
Maybe, or maybe just together? Announce them both at the same time like they were doing with the other awards, with like, oh, here's best adapted screenplay, here's best original screenplay at the same time. We're going to do them both at the same
time. How does that change... Who would win, though?
I mean, just maybe. I mean, as far as like, hey, it's going to be a surprise. Like, you could just announce them real quick like that. But usually, best director and best movie don't go back to back, right? Or do they? I never watched till the end of the Oscars, so I have no idea.
That's a good point. I don't remember how it was announced. I think best director was announced before the acting categories.
Yeah, quite a bit, right? Because then they announced best actor and best actress.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if earlier in the night all of a sudden you found out, and in years past you know it's always been this way, where like best director, you know who's going to win best movie. Like if they just did it like back to back, like, all right, best director, you know, this and this, and also best movie, same guy.
I don't know if that makes sense.
He does make a good point.
Maybe it doesn't make much sense, but I just don't think that it makes any more sense to have the guy that was best director not have directed the best movie. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of odd.
I don't feel like you can separate the two. I feel like they got
to go hand in hand. I don't think I'm as offended by it as you are, though.
I think Argo is a great movie, but I think it's the safe choice. I think
yes, it's a very safe choice.
There's obviously politics involved. It's Hollywood kind of filleting themselves. Like, it just kind of stinks a little bit. I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not pissed off or anything. I think Argo is a fine movie. I just think it's a safe movie, just like I think Lincoln would have been the safe movie. It's like typical Oscars going after, you know, a highly political movie or a highly historical movie or a period piece. You know what I mean? It's always like the silent film. Look at the films that have won the past couple of years. Fucking
The King's Speech.
King's Speech, period piece. Fucking silent film. Another, like, you know, classic Hollywood movie or whatever. Now it's like the political Hollywood had a hand in helping the government movie. It just kind of stinks a little bit. Like, the Oscars, I feel like I lose a little bit more respect for the Oscars every year, and I wonder why.
Well, it's the older you get, and the more, and it's also with the amount of information that's available now that you're able to realize what goes into this.
Yeah.
You know, this is information that you never had 15, 20 years ago.
And people are, like, so self-promote and really, like, go out there and try to get votes and stuff like that.
Well, like, the Weinstein companies are shameless.
Notorious, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean... It's just ridiculous. I mean, they were in it. The best supporting actor, they had two picks in it. Robert De Niro and Christoph Waltz. Both Miramax.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, do these things even hold any weight as much as they used to? Because it just seems like it's all politics now, and it's all like kind of like a popularity game. You know what I mean? Like, it's all in who you know. This is how you win. I'm jaded, Tim.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Is there anything else you guys want to mention?
Oscars suck.
I'd like to see something if I get another crack at this. I know it's not going to happen, but it's one of those things.
I don't want them to get Billy Crystal again, man. They're trying to get the younger audience.
They have to go.
You know who would be great? Who hosted the Golden Globes this year? And that was Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. And they did a fan. Well, that would be interesting.
She already said she's not doing it. Tina Fey did at least.
That's a shame.
You know who should do it? The Rock.
You know, that would be, I would be all over this. That would be so badass.
He's so charismatic.
He is very charismatic.
It'd be awesome.
That would be great. Because I'm going to see, like,
the intro to the
Oscars list, and all you see is the Brahma Bull. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, The Rock.
Just get some old wrestling guys in there. Get Stone Cold to come in and just give him the stunner real quick. And
not even that. Just have like you have the stage goes black. You have the big Brahma bull. You hear the music. Do.
He comes out in full.
The Rock says, and like the podium's actually a wrestling ring. He does the whole one arm fist pump.
Yeah, but in the end, he's like, oh shit, wrong show. And then he runs backstage.
half of our list is just tuned out right now.
That would be so awesome. All right,
enough about the crap. That's a brilliant idea. I give up.
Michael Bay should produce the Oscars, too, just because.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. And you can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter at 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com.
Or follow us on our Tumblr page, firsttimewatchers.tumblr.com.
And please download our episodes on iTunes and feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. And if you have any suggestions of movies for us to watch, please send a tweet, an email, or post on our Facebook page. By the way, speaking of suggestions, somebody suggested that we review Les Mis because she wanted us to review a chick flick. And I said, well, I've already talked about that, and we usually talk about something that we haven't seen. So if you pick another chick flick that maybe none of us have seen, we'll take it under consideration.
Yeah,
I'll take
it under consideration.
He says grudgingly.
Yeah. But I will, because it's our fans that I will do this for.
That's right.
I will take one for the people.
That's right. Stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be talking about the 1956 John Ford movie, The Searchers.
That is the First Time Watchers podcast because we like to watch. Ah, we like to watch. Ah, we like to watch.